Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
What's up, everybody? This is the Sporting Edge. I'm Witz. I'm here with my man, Roz the Houdini. We got a great show for you today. The lull period is over. We've got NFL free agency in full swing. We got bracketology going on. So I'll leave it to you, Roz. What's going on, bud?
Not too much. At a hectic little week here gambling. I set a new record in the gambling world. I went 0-11 in one day. The odds of that is 0.0005% chance of happening. So in some universes, if we're going to do a little spin zone here, that's kind of the luckiest man in the world. Because if had I gone out and gotten a lottery ticket that week or that day, I think, you know what, I'm coming out a winner.
Oh, maybe you should go and buy one. I mean, who's stopping you?
Too late. I mean, that feat I just accomplished will never happen ever again. At least I hope not.
It's only up from here, right? I mean, it couldn't get any worse.
Has to be up from here. And I mean, that's the motto for many NCAA teams that we're going to get into that later in the show. But a lot of rough conference championship games we've witnessed so far. And it's good to kind of get that little break with football in between there, seeing all the free agent frenzy. I mean, they had Adam Schefter on CBS and NBC the other day during the middle of some college basketball games, giving us some updates on this crazy, crazy free agency. And I know you have a lot of input when it comes to this NFL offseason already.
Yeah, you know what? The first team I got to talk about, a team that's been in disarray for about 20 years, and they had, you know, the past few years, they seemed like they had a shot. But the Washington Redskins are once again the laughingstock of the NFL, right on par with the Browns, who, you know, might I add, are stocking up some major draft picks the next 2 years. But, Roz, the Redskins in the past 3 days have fired their general manager, have lost their top two receivers in Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, and are currently, you know, in the news. Kirk Cousins is in the news basically saying he wants out of Washington. This is a complete mess. It's an embarrassment. I mean, the Redskins, you'd think after 20 years of being, you know, one of the laughing stocks of the league, they could figure it out, but it seems that they can't. And, I mean, this Redskins team, they're in for a rough year if this is just the start of free agency.
Yeah, I mean, the Kirk Cousins thing, I would say caught me off guard, but it really didn't. I mean, that team, like you mentioned, he lost his two deep threats. It doesn't look like they're very focused on the market right now. Instead, they're focused on Kirk Cousins wanting to be traded. I know Dan Snyder said he wasn't going to trade him, but on Thursday or Friday, pardon me, he signed a franchise tender, which allows for him now to officially be traded. So do you believe he's going to be moved, Xander? I mean, I don't really know a landing spot for him. I just know that if you're a quarterback in this year's NFL draft, you're like, holy crap, I might not end up on a team anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's bizarre. I think he honestly wants to end up back in Washington with Kyle Shanahan. I mean, that was the guy who was there when he drafted.
You mean San Francisco?
Yes, not Washington.
Going cross country here.
yeah, you know, Cousins was there, or excuse me, Shanahan was there when he got drafted. I think there's a lot of familiarity with that situation. And Cousins, say what you want about him, he has put up some stats the past few years. I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan, and you can see that by that pick that ended their playoff chances and the one in the Pro Bowl too. But this is just a mess for Washington. I mean, I don't really know what they're thinking. You know, they were on the verge the past couple years of, You know, and they made the playoffs, and last year they were close, didn't quite get it done. But this is a team that, you know, a little magic, and maybe they win a couple games in the playoffs. But now, disarray, fire their general manager, wasn't even at the combine. I mean, it's an embarrassment. It's another knock on Dan Snyder, who I think continues to show that, you know, he's one of the most clueless owners in the NFL. And it just all this kind of shit happens every year. And the Redskins, you know, they're a team to not watch out for next year. And precisely for these reasons, losing their top two receivers, quarterback controversy. And you know what? Honestly, I think Cousins stays with them for this year. And we'll see what happens from there. I mean, if he has a great year, you know, they're not going to franchise him for, you know, they're not going to put a tag on him another year. I mean, that's just way too much money. They'd sign him to a long-term deal. But, you know, who knows what they're going to be like. I mean, this defense was very average last year. The offense showed some spurts, but, you know, I mean, you lose your top two receivers. And not to say that DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon are, you know, the best tandem in the league. But, I mean, there were some formidable guys when they're on the field. A lot of injury concerns there. But, you know what, playmakers. But this Redskins team, I mean, it makes me shake my head. But, you know what, enough about the Redskins.
No, I got one quick thing, though, Xander. A little stay woke on the red or on the R words, the Washington R words. They're tanking. They're nowhere to be found at the combine. Doesn't seem like many free agent things are going on. A lot of people are going to be mad at their football play, which is going to take a lot of the stress off of the changing their team name. And I think Dan Snyder is going to come out and change the team name if all goes to shit. If everything is just going down the wrong path and nobody's happy with this team, a little PR move. Just changing the name, and then people are like, "Whoa, we got a new Washington name out there. It's no longer the Washington R words. It's going to be the Washington Pitbulls or whatever they're going to change their name to." But stay woke on that. Maybe he's working to change the name now.
Yeah, because that's what a team like the Redskins is worrying about now—the name more than the product they put on the field. But you know, let's move to some other teams who are making some big moves in free agency. Roz, one team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Signed Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith and Chance Warmack, a great guard in this league. You know, they signed Jeffrey to a one-year deal, which I think is a win-win for them. I mean, Jeffrey, you know, was unbelievable, I think, as a number two receiver next to Brandon Marshall. But, you know, showed last year he's a great player, but, you know, the PED suspension is a little cause for worry. And you know what? I think this is a great move for the Eagles. I mean, a young quarterback. A guy who has put up some numbers. Now you got Torrey Smith, who I'm really not high on. I mean, I think his career is about 5 years past his prime. But, I mean, you look at Jordan Matthews, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, this is a very formidable wide receiver corpse right now. And with Brent Celek, I mean, I think these are some great pieces that the Eagles are trying to put around Carson Wentz. And I'm not completely sold on Wentz yet. You know, I'm not saying that this is going to catapult the Eagles to the playoffs, but I think Jeffrey, you can consider him a number one wide receiver. I don't think he's really proven that yet, but, I mean, this offense is going to be one to watch out for next year.
No, I agree. I think it's explosive offense that we're going to get from them. You just named four wide receivers that are very deep at that position, but I think what you also need to consider is the fact that they have Darren Sproles and Ryan Matthews in the backfield, and this just gets them more repetition as well, gets them more plays, and definitely makes a defense more worried when facing this Eagles team because they'll be so spread out on the sides of the field that Darren Sproles can go up the middle, look for little dump passes here and there, and it's going to be very successful. So I think this offense is going to be very prolific, and I'm curious to see what they do the rest of the way in free agency. I know they just released Connor Barwin this week. He had a nice heartfelt goodbye. He loved playing in Philadelphia. He still hopes to play somewhere. Maybe you end up in Green Bay. We could use a good pass rusher. But I think it's interesting to see maybe they keep going in the free agency world, keep going for some defensive players. And I think this is a playoff team, Xander. I think this team, Carson Wentz, second year, no sophomore slump. I think it's going to be very impressive to see them out on the field next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they could be good, but it's going to be tough in a division with the Cowboys, who showed us that they're going to be here to stay. And, you know, the Giants, who are also, I think, a very good team still. You know, we're a one half away from beating the Packers and getting to the next round of the playoffs. So, I mean, this NFC East is going to be really interesting next year, minus the Eagles. But that's all the time we have here for the Sporting Edge, everybody. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We'll be back after the break with more free agency talk before we get into the big mama jama. We're back at the Sporting Edge here, Witz and Roz. And Roz, you know, we were in the middle of some free agency talk, and we got a couple more things. But The Brock Osweiler nightmare in Houston is finally over.
He's traded. It was only a year. Browns.
You know, what were your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think his career is over, and we were joking about it earlier this week when he was traded. Hopefully he didn't spend all that money, you know? I mean, this is a very much so a Matt Flynn situation, because the Browns are looking to dump him, trade him, release him before the 2017 season even starts. They cut RG3 on Friday. So I know in the first segment I said beware if you're an NFL or a quarterback going into the NFL in this draft. The Browns still apparently want to draft a quarterback. I mean, Osweiler is going to be traded, but I don't even know what team really needs him. He's going to be a backup again, probably to some superstar quarterback, and he'll never see the field again. So hopefully,
I'm not so sure. I think he will get another shot somewhere. I don't think it's going to be in Cleveland. I don't think that was their intention when they made this trade, but I think he will get another shot. I mean, there's such a lack of good quarterbacks, and I'm not calling him a good quarterback, but I mean,
then you got to pick a team here, Xander. You got to tell me where you think he even fits. I don't even know where he fits. He's not a.
I know, but there's a ton of teams out there who don't have any quarterback, and I haven't, you know, made a list about it. But you know, he has shown some spurts, and I know that last year was a complete disaster. But I mean, there was a reason he got that huge contract, because he did show somebody something. But you brought up Matt Flynn, and I thought a much more comparable guy to Matt Flynn possibly in the future could be Mike Glennon, the guy that the Bears just signed for $15 million a year, $18 or $19 million guaranteed. I mean, this has Matt Flynn written all over it if the Bears were to draft a quarterback in the first round and possibly have a guy surpass him, which I'd be completely fine with. You know, if we could find our Russell Wilson this year and be set for the next 10 or 15 years, I'd be the happiest Bears fan around, because I mean, the past 8 years with Jay Cutler have been an absolute disaster. I mean, we haven't sniffed the playoffs since that NFC Championship game and the, you know, the knee incident with the walking up the stairs at dinner. But you know what? I didn't really love this move for the Bears. You know, I see why they did it. There's not a lot of ways to go, but I would have liked to have seen them give him Matt Barkley a shot for a year. I mean, nothing that Mike Glennon has shown me in this league, you know, has proven to me that he deserves $15 million a year, which is not, you know, not blockbuster for a quarterback anymore. But I mean, when you look at all the value, all the talent out there, I just don't think they needed to do this. And I would, you know, I'm a guy, I would love to see them draft a quarterback, because we saw this year, you know, a guy in the third or fourth round could end up being your starting franchise quarterback. And that guy was Dak Prescott. I mean, the Cowboys, I don't think in a million years could have ever guessed, you know, this season would turn out the way it did, with Tony Romo going down, Dak Prescott stepping up and becoming the quarterback of the future. Now Tony Romo is an afterthought in Dallas, but you know what? Maybe the Bears can find that guy. I mean, I'm very high on Deshaun Watson. You know what? I don't love all the stuff, you know, quarterback related, but I love his intangibles. I think he's a great leader. Reminds me of Russell Wilson in some ways. Just, you know, bringing that team back to win a national championship. You know, he's not perfect. You know, he's not the most accurate of quarterbacks. He's not what you look for in a typical pro-style passer. But, you know, he's a guy I would love to give a shot to, because, you know, our Bears, or I would say my Bears, they're not your Bears, but, I mean, they're bottom of the barrel right now. And, you know, they signed Prince Amukamara, which I think is a decent sign. You know, they've got some pieces on that defense, but, I mean, we've got a great young running back in Jordan Howard, and we're going to need to find some receivers too. But I don't know if Mike Glennon was – I don't know if the signing was right. I'm not mad about it, but I'm not happy about it either.
Well, I'm glad I get my take on it at this point. So a couch I would have loved to have been on Wednesday is Matt Barkley's, in his house. Just kind of want to hear him talking to his girlfriend, his wife. I don't know his marital situation at this point. But I'd love to see, like, him say, wow, I am now going to be benched for a guy named Mike Glennon, a guy who's been a backup in the league, the guy who hasn't proved anything in this league, and when he was given the starting opportunity, he lost it. I mean, you're paying him $15 million a year.
I think it kind of got taken from him. I mean, they draft a quarterback number one overall.
I mean, that's fair, and I think Jameis is significantly better than Mike Glennon, but Mike Glennon played a season, and he didn't show anything spectacular, except for a fun fact here, Xander. There is no quarterback in NFL history who has a better completion percentage on second down in the fourth quarter than Mike Glennon. How about
that
one?
For ESPN?
That's courtesy of part of my take. I know I'm stealing here a little bit, but I did give him the credit, so part of my take. Thank you for that little stat line. It's very impressive. I mean, Mike Glennon could be your next Peyton Manning if you really want to look at it that way, Xander. But I don't think that's the case. I think it's kind of weird that Matt Barkley is going to be replaced by another backup, although Matt Barkley is born to be a backup here in the NFL. I agree with you, though, on the Deshaun Watson thing. I think Deshaun Watson does remind me a little bit of Russell Wilson, but more physical. He's a little bigger built, and I think he's kind of a cross in between Cam Newton and Russell Wilson. So I think it'd be really interesting to see if he could pull off one of those Seattle Seahawks moments where he takes Mike Glennon's job before Mike Glennon even gets his opportunity to start. That'll just give Mike Glennon his money. He can buy his wife a nice new ring, a new house in Chicago, a lot of
and
great penthouses.
He would essentially be Matt Flynn then.
He would essentially be another Matt Flynn, which is, you know what, Xander, pay me $15 million a year to sit on the bench. I will do it. You could pay me $15 million to sit outside just all day and make sure like nobody steals your car. I'll absolutely do that. That's completely fine with me. So my other note, though, on this that I find funny, and Chicago people might not find funny, is so cutting Jay Cutler, I hear all the Instagram posts, the Twitter, the Facebook posts, all that good stuff about, yes, Cutler's gone, he ruined our franchise, blah, 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 blah. So Cutler has all the passing records in Chicago Bear history. Just put that out there really quickly. Cutler now on the open market.
What is he going up against? Sid Luckman, who played 60 years ago?
It's just showing that the Bears never really have a quarterback or are a good organization. I mean, they're playing in a division where they should show some respect when they play the Green Bay Packers, but we play such trash over there that it doesn't really matter. But let me go back to Cutler here for a second. Cutler's on the open market. We're going to find out where Romo ends up. I'm assuming he's going to be a Texan. The Jets want Simeon. If the Jets can't get Simeon, then the thought is that Jay Cutler's their guy, so he'll be a Jet. I don't think much will come from that. He'll be back with Forte. That's still a team that I think is going to miss the playoffs. But if Simeon moves fast enough and gets to the Jets and Romo then decides to go to the Texans, that leaves the Broncos with an open spot. And that man, Mr. Jay Cutler, knows what it's like to play in Mile High, as that's where he started his career. And I think Jay Cutler takes that team to an AFC Championship game. I'm not going to say they win, because I think the Patriots, who just signed Stephon Gilmore, are set up again just to win another Super Bowl. So it's absolutely ridiculous. But I think Jay Cutler is going to show Bear fans that he does have the talent. He'll have somebody like Demaryius Thomas. He'll have
he always had the talent.
Yeah, but he's actually going to have a team. I think he's going to show that the Bears are just horrible, horrible organization, horrible team. I mean, the fact that the highlight and the poster boy of your team right now is Jordan Howard. I mean, he's a rookie running back. That's ridiculous. And there's no shot.
He's not a rookie anymore.
He's not anymore. But then this is not a shot at Jordan Howard. It's more of like, wow, you're a rookie running back and you're the face of a franchise right now. That doesn't happen. That's just not a thing. I mean, Adrian Peterson had to work his way to be a franchise player and the face of a team. And now he's not even on the Vikings anymore. So the fact that that's the case scenario, I just wanted to say that I think Jay Cutler on the Broncos makes things a little bit interesting, because Peyton Manning wasn't very good when they won the Super Bowl. He was kind of an average quarterback. But Cutler, I'm going to say he's above average, and I think he's going to be on the best team he'll have been on in his career. And I'll say, keep an eye open. I think we're going to see Cutler in an AFC Championship game if he's a Bronco.
Okay. Well, I would love to see the Broncos get a man named Tony Romo, because I think that would make the AFC ever so more interesting with him at the helm. I mean, say what you want about Tony Romo. He hasn't played much the past 2 years, but when healthy, he gives a team like the Broncos or the Texans, whichever team has the balls to go and get him, a really decent shot at a Super Bowl title. I mean, I know the Patriots are, I think, the clear-cut best team in the NFL. I mean, they usually always are, but I mean, Tony Romo, I think, is the one missing piece from these two teams with these great defenses. I mean, the Houston Texans had the best defense in the league last year, and, you know, Brock Osweiler, Tom Savage, it didn't work out because they were horrible. I mean, you can't score 12 points a game and expect any defense to come out and win. But, I mean, if the Texans don't try to get Tony Romo, I think they're doing themselves a disservice. It's not often you have the best defense in the league, and this is the time to attack, but it's also the time for us to go. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm. We'll be back after the break. We've got the tourney coming up. Last show before the tourney. Very exciting times here. We'll catch you after the break, everybody.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
What's up, everybody? We're back here at the Sporting Edge. I said we were going to talk about brackets, but Roz, one more move I wanted to talk about in the NFL was DeSean Jackson to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think, you know, when he's healthy, him and Mike Evans, I think, could be a blockbuster for Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers on offense. I mean, you look at a healthy Doug Martin, you got, they're signing Jaquizz Rodgers back. I mean, Mike Evans is a clear-cut number one wide receiver, could be the best receiver in the NFL. And DeSean Jackson, I think, is that pop-the-top deep threat that they've been looking for, because, you know, it was hard to call Vincent Jackson, you know, that guy anymore, as, you know, he's entering his age 35 season. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the move? Does this, you know, possibly make the Bucs offense one to look out for next year?
Yeah, if Winston can throw the ball down the field, I think it'll make it interesting. I don't know how good he is with a deep threat. I guess we'll get to experience that now. You've seen the resurgence of Mike Wallace in Baltimore. He's a deep threat kind of guy from Joe Flacco. I think DeSean Jackson can have a good year. I don't know. I wouldn't tell you to take him high in a fantasy draft. I mean, it's still Tampa Bay, so they're going to be – I don't know how good they're going to be. We'll have to see there. But Mike Evans, this is great. It takes a little bit of pressure off of him. I think that brings his value up a little bit. It's good to see DeSean Jackson on the move, although I think this is not really the ideal spot, especially when he said, I'd rather finish as a Redskin or as an Eagle or on a Super Bowl contender. And as far as I know, this Tampa Bay –
they get all three of them.
I know, exactly. And to be honest, I don't see Tampa in a Super Bowl anytime soon. And I call my bluff if I'm lying and saying that, or I'm missing something about this team. But Tampa really not the best landing spot for me, and wasn't super intriguing and a little disappointing at the same time.
All right. Well, you know, it's not disappointing. March Madness, because it's here. This is our last show before the tourney. Obviously, you know, where we're sitting here on Friday, we don't have all the conference tourney action in, but we do have a lot of teams we know are going to be in this tournament, and I think we got to start breaking it down. My first team I want to talk about is Kansas.
Your team, by the way. That's your team. I hope you talk about them.
Well, I'm going to talk about them because I'm pretty freaking upset that they lost to TCU in the quarterfinals of the Big 12. I mean, I thought this loss, it was unacceptable. I know that they're going to be in, and they're going to be a one seed.
I don't think they're a one seed anymore, depending on the
–
no, I think they just opened the door wide open for other potential and Pac-12 teams in particular. That's been the big news since Wednesday. I mean, the Pac-12 might be fighting for a nice little one spot, and obviously the number one overall seed.
I see UCLA being a one seed.
They need to win it.
I mean, we don't know. Obviously, Saturday morning right now, but what do you think? Do they win tonight?
I sure as hell hope
so. Arizona, I mean, you know, I think it'll be a good game, but I really like UCLA also. I mean, Lonzo Ball. I mean, if you listen to his dad talk, you know, he's the best thing since sliced bread. He is pretty damn good.
I think he's very good. And I think the door's wide open. It's Arizona, Oregon, UCLA. One of those teams is going to be a number one overall seed. I would say you say UCLA, but I would say Oregon. I think Oregon's that complete package. They've been a one seed before. They show the eye test. They went on the road, won at UCLA during the year. Again, the door's also open for other teams. I know a Big Ten team can't really jump that high off of the Kansas miss, but I think the committee really should evaluate the Big 12 after this. And I've been saying this on the show week in, week out, Xander, and this is why I'm calling you out, because you love the Big 12 all of a sudden, and Kansas with the loss.
I didn't say I love
yes,
the Big 12.
You said Kansas was your team.
Baylor?
Yeah, what did I tell you? I told you not to respect Baylor anymore. I said I got Baylor to the number one line, and then they fell
off. Kansas lost.
And Baylor lost too. Look at how
Watch out when they get Josh Jackson back. And I'm not saying that was an excuse for the loss of that game, but they're going to come out hot in this tournament. And if they end up winning it all, I would not be surprised.
I'd be surprised if they made it to the Elite Eight. That's all I have to say. And I think the same goes for Baylor. That team is not a good shooting team, not a good scoring team. And in fact, we go back to this every single time I talk about the Big 12. Neither is West Virginia in that 10-point win over Texas earlier in the tournament. I mean, Texas beat Texas Tech, so I hope Texas Tech isn't going to get a bid on Sunday. As well as West Virginia really just went on a scoring lull. They spent 5 minutes at a time during that game unable to score the basketball. And that's not going to work in the tournament against good scoring teams and big teams. Because once you can match up down low and pitch the ball out, kick it out, whatever you want to call it, teams are going to score on them, and it's going to be tough to keep up if you can't score. And that goes for every single Big 12 team. Look how many points they scored, 63 points. Kansas scored 63 points. Baylor scored 50 points. They can't score in the Big 12.
You know about Kansas, Baylor, all these Big 12 teams? They're freaking battle-tested. You look at Baylor, number 6 strength to schedule in the country. Kansas, number 18. I mean, look at some of these other teams. UCLA, number 88.
Yeah, but they went on the road to beat Kentucky.
64 out of conference.
In Lexington.
They did. They're a great team, but I'm saying Baylor, Kansas, they're battle tested. And like I mentioned before, when the home court advantage is gone and all you have is the team that you play for, these teams are not gonna fold under pressure. I can guarantee that. Baylor and Kansas are going. Well, if I say Sweet 16, that's not really much, but Kansas is going to the Elite Eight, and I think they're gonna go to the Final Four and possibly more. That's my rhyme for the day.
That's fine. And my only backing of the strength of schedule is the Pac-12 is one of the worst conferences in terms of depth, but the top of their conference is one of the best I've ever seen with this Arizona, Oregon, and UCLA combo. I mean, USC gave UCLA a game on Wednesday night, or Thursday night, pardon me, and USC is still looking for a potential bid on Sunday, and I think they deserve it and should be able to get it. That would help out with the Pac-12, making them look a little bit better. But the strength of schedule comes in with also the conference. And that's also the fault of the committee for ranking that so high, saying that the Big 12 is such a powerful conference, making that the strength of schedule look more impressive for Baylor and Kansas. And I just don't agree at all. I mean, I think the Big 10 is also being underlooked. I mean, this Michigan team is fiery. They came out, destroyed Illinois. Forced
and
over
the practice unis.
And the practice unis, I know. That scary plane thing. Thank God everybody's all right. They took Purdue to overtime. This team's ready to fight. Also, Michigan State was like, we need to show one impressive win. They go up against a Penn State team who I'm telling you to look out for in the future. Watkins is a superb big man down low. He's going to be very big for Penn State in the future. But Miles Bridges comes out, just dominates that game for Michigan State. I think the Big Ten is going to shock some people, especially since they haven't had the numbers they're used to having. I think Michigan State's going to be in. Minnesota's a great scoring team. Watch out for them. Wisconsin, Purdue, obviously at the top. Maryland, that young freshman team, we'll see how they do. I think with KU's loss, the champion of the Big Ten is actually now going to hop up to the 2 line, I believe.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at one team, and if they win tonight, and this is the biggest game on the slate, I think Duke at North Carolina. If North Carolina wins tonight, I would have a hard time not putting them as a 1. I know they have 6 losses. But, I mean, they have won some enormous games this year. And I think another, you know, capstone victory versus the Dukies, I would have no problem putting them as a 1 seed, which I think they might even be slotted in right now as 1.
The committee will not put Duke up at the 1. I think they have too many.
I said UNC.
UNC is slotted as a 1. You're right. I apologize. Okay. UNC, you're right. Then Xander's 100%
right.
And
the committee are thinking on the same page.
UNC is going to be a 1. I think they're the most dynamic team in college basketball right now. I said take Dukies to win it all. And in fact, that Louisville win is one of the most impressive wins I've seen this year, battling back from 12. In fact, that was one of the 11 games I lost since I took Louisville. So I think Duke, very impressive. That three-headed monster they have with Tatum, Kennard, and Allen is going to be very dangerous for any team. The issue for Duke is when they face a team that's very, very very fundamentally sound in the low post. Their defense in the post is very questionable. I know there has been question on Emil Jefferson's health. I think if he is at full health, that makes him a little stronger down there. And you really need this kid, Harry Giles, to show up. I don't know about you, Xander, but something like this frustrates me. When you're the number one ranked prospect in the country coming into this year and you can't even perform at that level, it's mind-boggling and really upsets me. If we were going to have a Roz's rant, he would be my entire rant today, but we're not. So I think Jason Tatum has stepped up, filled that role. He's absolutely fantastic. I think Frank Jackson, also, who's on Duke, is another big recruit they brought in, has been playing exceptionally well for them when Grayson Allen had to be on the bench for his technical foul and other issues going on with injury. So I think this Duke team is one to be scared of, but this UNC team, like you just said, is the most versatile. Big, shoot, everything you need from a team. I know they've lost some games this year, but I think when it matters most, this team's going to show up. I think they're going to go to the NCAA finals. I don't know who against. I'm hoping it's against UCLA, but again, it all depends on the bracket, which we're going to break down for you guys hopefully next week at some point. So I'm going to go with UNC as my final prediction right now, but I'm telling you, ACC Big Ten, that's what I'm really hot on right now.
Yeah, I really like UNC. I mean, you look at them, 11-4 against the top 50. I mean, I think only Duke has more games. They're 11-6 against the top 50. But North Carolina, this team has been solid all year. I mean, they went to a national championship last year and lost on a buzzer beater. Roy Williams, they've got the coach. I think they've got the ACC Player of the Year. The name's slipping my mind right now. But, I mean, this is a team to watch out for. And they're on the rise, I think, unlike a team like Kansas. But that's all the time we have here for the Sporting Edge. We've got one more segment left. We're going to break down some of the middle seeds, let you know who we think's maybe going to make a Cinderella run. Maybe we'll get some mid-majors in there. And I think one team, Roz, we got to talk about is Gonzaga.
Nope.
That's all the time we have here. Catch you after the break. What's up, everybody? We're back here at the Sporting Edge. We're breaking down the bracket, some seeding, a lot of issues with me and Roz in the Big 12. You know, I'll flashback, beginning of the season, give Roz a lot of credit. He called this Baylor team was going to be a force in the NCAA this year, and that's exactly what they were. Projected as a 3 seed right now. You know, they had a great year, Roz. I give you a lot of credit. I think they faltered a little bit down the stretch, but like I said before the break, And I think I already got your opinion, but, you know, does Gonzaga have a chance to make a run in this tournament?
I mean, my mind's blown, Xander. And I've hated Gonzaga. I rip you about them all the time. But everyone has a chance this year. I mean, I haven't seen one team that is compelling enough, other than maybe UNC, which we said last segment, that could win it all. Gonzaga's got a shot. They got a big man. They can shoot. They can score. They can move the ball. That's very important. But if you've been watching all week, and we apologize, listeners, that we're recording this here on Friday and we don't have all the information you need yet because our boy X is going to Fort Lauderdale to spend some time with the honeys.
Spring break, man.
Spring break honeys. Absolutely. And he's going to be very respectful down there, keep everything tidy, high and tidy. But that's why we're a little behind. But we just got news in about Michigan and Purdue in overtime. A tough, tough loss for Purdue here. I mean, my mind's boggled, and that's why I'm stuttering and struggling to figure out what to put of it. And I'm gonna give you a little more credit for taking Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga's got a shot. I think anybody's got a shot. I put Florida Gulf Coast in my Final Four at this point because I don't know who's gonna win a game. I mean, none of these teams have been consistent enough for me to feel comfortable picking them to win my national title. You know how I feel about UCLA. You know how I feel about UNC, and I think Gonzaga, outside of that, they could be a Final Four team. Why not? Why not them?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be so many great matchups, and I think possibly as early as the second round. I mean, when I take a look at, you know, the top 16 teams, you know, maybe 13 or 14, I would say all those teams, I think, have a relatively decent shot to win. A team I haven't watched a ton this year, Florida State, but you know what? Pros experts have him as a 3 seed. I mean, they've been doing something right. I mean, they've got him ranked ahead of Baylor and Louisville right now. But my thing is, don't sleep on Louisville. I know that they haven't been that impressive this year, but I think come tourney time, I think they're going to be a team this year that is going to turn it on. Toughest strength of schedule in the entire nation. And I know I brought that up.
You're loving that. Time. You should be part of the committee.
Schedule. I love the battle-tested nature.
How about the eye test?
The eye test? Pretty good. Not great. UNC is my favorite on the eye test. Villanova, I mean, you know, they've been pretty good all year, near the top. You know, I know they lost twice to Butler, but they've been pretty good. Gonzaga's been pretty good. I mean, 32-1 is not too shabby. I know what conference they play in, but, you know, they can only play the cards they're dealt. Arizona has really come on strong in the Pac-12 this year, but I think the best team in the Pac-12 is UCLA. I think Lonzo Ball is the best player in the Pac-12 and possibly the nation. And along with Alford, UCLA team to watch out for. But my Kentucky Wildcats, a team that I called a couple weeks ago, is a very premature, a 12-year-old, I can't say that on the radio, but premature pick to win the national championship. I'm not going to shy away from it now. I haven't looked at the bracket because it's not out yet, but I'll have to see how things match up because there's going to be some tough roads, I think, even for these 1 and 2 seeds. You know, they might have to, after their first round matchup, it could be 4 or 5, you know, barn burners in a row, and we'll have to see how it sets up. But, Roz, West Virginia, do they have a chance, or are they just kind of, you know, big story for a couple weeks?
Yeah, I don't have much love. They're another Big 12 team that, like I said earlier, they can't score.
Yeah, but what's the Big 12? They're the Big 12, baby.
I'm done with their conference. I've given you my conferences. It's the ACC, Big 10, and the only reason I like Villanova outside of the Big East is because they did have a tough schedule. They went and played teams outside of their conference and proved that they were capable of winning. They took it to Purdue earlier in the year, so Villanova's kind of that team, an outlier per se. That because the Big East is another just terrible, terrible conference. And you shouldn't take anybody from the Big East when it comes time for tournament play. I mean, Butler just lost to Xavier, who's one of the worst teams. Xavier, in the last month of college basketball, now they have 4 wins. But they had 3 wins prior to that. All 3 wins were against DePaul, one of the worst basketball teams in college. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But they got that win against Butler, so that'll secure their spot in the NCAA tournament. And this Butler team now, I don't have much faith for. I don't have anything. I have no faith, Xander. I'm sounding like a broken record here, but I don't have any faith outside the ACC or Big Ten other than Villanova, who's kind of my outlier.
Okay, I got a Big Ten team for you. First time ever they're going to be in the tournament, the Northwestern Wildcats.
Look good against Rutgers, but again, that's a really crappy, crappy Rutgers team, right? So
big game, big game tonight. Northwestern against Maryland.
I think it's a massive game.
The kind of game I like to see. I think Maryland's a good team. I think Northwestern's a good team and a team to watch out for. I mean, you know, no matter how bad you don't want to pick upsets in your bracket, you know that every year something nutty is going to happen. And you know what? If you told me Northwestern was going to be that team this year, I wouldn't call you crazy because I'm a little crazy myself.
Yeah, no, I think this game's really important because I think the winner of this game is going to prove something. I think that's two very good teams matching up. I think that Northwestern is a very talented, very skilled, maybe not as physical as some other teams that are going to be in this tournament. So I think it's very much on the matchup side of it. Joe Lunardi's kind of being a tough guy right now when it comes to bracketology, giving them more of an 8 or 9. But I think with a win over Maryland, that really has to jump them up to maybe a 6 line, probably a 7. I think, again, it's all based on matchup. I think Maryland, what's interesting about them is I think they can compete with pretty much anybody because they are a very good scoring team, and they do have a little bit of a presence down low. So I believe that Maryland would be able to give some trouble to teams in the tournament. I'd like to pick both of these teams, depending on their matchups, to move on from the first round. I think Maryland's one of those teams I have going the deepest out of the Big Ten. I know people are hating on Wisconsin because of how poor they've played at the end of the season, but they're a tournament-tested team. Most players on their team really know what it's like to be in this tournament situation.
I wanted to get your opinion on Wisconsin because they were a team, you know, I thought they were trending upward, and then a couple weeks ago it just completely fell off the mat, you know, lost 3 games in a row. You know, they got them at around a 7 seed right now, playing Indiana tonight. You know what? What do they do in the tournament? Do they make a run, or do they just kind of fold up the tent like they kind of have the past couple weeks?
I think it makes the tournament fun if they're a 7 seed. I think that puts a 2 seed in.
That's the exact thing I love about this tournament. This is a Wisconsin team that, you know what, if they made a little run, I think could have, you know, wiggled into like a 3 seed maybe. But now it's a dangerous 7. It's a dangerous 7.
I think there's danger all over this board when it comes out. Selection Sunday is going to be very interesting this year. It is. This is, I told you, we've been talking about it all year. This is probably going to be the most entertaining March Madness of all time. I know once you lose your champion, you kind of lose a little interest in it, and it hurts bad. Your heart's a little bit broken that you can't continue on in the March Madness pools that you're probably in. But I think there's a lot of minefields, like you said, Xander. I think there's going to be a lot of entertaining games, and I think a lot of lower seeds are going to pull off some victories because, like you said, if Wisconsin is really to get a 7 seed, which would be absolutely ridiculous, that scares a 2, you know? Like, what 2 really wants to go into their second game and play Wisconsin? That's just not – that's nothing you want to see.
Right.
So,
and yeah, you know, another interesting team, Roz, 27-4 this year, SMU, Larry Brown, the magician. Does SMU, do they have the pieces to possibly make a tournament run? I mean, I think they're, you know, about a five right now, five or six. Right on that borderline, playing Eastern Carolina today. I think they got a little bit of a shot.
Blowing out Eastern Carolina, and I think SMU and Wichita State are kind of my two teams. Wichita State's won 16 straight games going into the tournament, so I think they can take a couple rounds along with SMU. I think the further you get for those teams when they meet the big dogs, per se, UCLA or UNC, I was just combining both of them, I think they lose those games. But I think you can get two rounds out of those two teams, and it's going to be very interesting. Another landmine, per se, Xander.
Super interesting. The tournament is here. I'm all jacked up now. I'm going on vacation. Going to be watching some tournament games. Not on the beach, but in the bar right next to the beach. It's going to be a great time. Going to be in contact with all you guys next week when we do the show. We'll have first round updates. But that's all the time we have today here, everybody. If you miss a show, you know where to find us. LibertyTalk.fm. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Catch a select from Sunday. And we will see you next week, everybody.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.